In 2007, TV network CBS dropped 40 kids in the middle of the New Mexico desert as part of a brand new reality show. These kids would have to build their own society from scratch. And if this sounds like Lord of the Flies to you, well, it was meant to.
We were on this mission together. We were going to prove to the world that we could make a better society than adults could.
I'm Josh Gwynn, and I want to know what this wild TV experiment was really about. Split Screen, Kid Nation, a 6-part podcast from CBC. Available now.
This is a CBC podcast.
Hello, I'm Matt Galloway, and this is The Current Podcast. When a transport truck collided with a bus carrying a group of Humboldt Broncos hockey players in 2018, it was a wake-up call for the trucking industry. That crash, killing 16 people, sparked new rules in some provinces. They brought in new mandatory training for entry-level drivers. But now, a new report from the Insurance Bureau of Canada says there is an urgent need for more truck driver training, that new truck drivers who have not received adequate training are making Canada's roads less safe. Liam McGinty is Vice President of Strategy at the Insurance Bureau of Canada. Liam, hello.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well, thanks. What is wrong with truck driver training in this country right now?
A lot. Matt, to take a step back, the trucking sector is absolutely critical to our economy, right? It's responsible for the movement of over 90% of the goods that we ship across the country, but it's facing a couple of headwinds. The first is you're seeing driver shortages as the workforce ages. And then second, and what the report really delved into, is there's inadequate access to robust but also consistent training across the country. And none of this is new. The trucking sector itself, led by the Canadian Trucking Association, has long been calling for change. So we're hoping the report serves as a bit of a wake-up call on, first and foremost, inadequate training.
When I say that there's an urgent need for truck driver training, one of the reasons that you would use that word urgency is presumably because of the risks that would be out there if drivers aren't adequately trained. How would you assess those risks?
Worsening, unfortunately, and you don't have to look far to see examples of the risks associated with commercial trucking. I think just last week, an Ontario truck driver faced 14 charges after being caught impaired on Highway 417. We're just now 6 years removed also from the Humboldt tragedy. There's been, an alarming trend in both the frequency, but from our perspective as well, the severity of collisions on our roads. And that's really where this report stemmed. It stemmed from conversations that we'd had with our members, insurance companies, and the trucking sector. And it started with questions about what can we do to work together to reduce risk.
Do we know how bad the safety record of newer truck drivers in particular is?
It can be difficult to ascertain the exact driving record of a newer driver. But what we do know is those newer drivers, or more inexperienced drivers, I should say, are responsible for a larger number of claims. And, the heart of the report, Matt, is that those drivers are more likely to be involved in accidents and are not receiving the kind of training that they need. And in fact, what we call entry-level training in Canada, in some jurisdictions, you do just over 100 hours of training and you can get on the roads. And that's just, that is not sufficient. That's not in keeping with best practice.
For people who don't know of truck driving training, what is entry-level training? What do I need to know, or what do I need to be equipped with before I can get in a big rig and drive down the road?
Well, it's regulated by provinces, so there's differences. And, a number of Canadian jurisdictions, provinces, have implemented mandatory entry-level training. And that consists of a minimum number of hours behind the wheel. In some jurisdictions, it's as low as 100 hours. Now, those entry-level training programs were never designed to fully prepare drivers for operating heavy trucks in all conditions. They just don't cover that full range of competencies required to be, what we would say is road ready.
Prior to the Humboldt bus crash, prior to that, only one province, the province of Ontario, had that mandatory entry-level training. Has it been implemented across the country since then? That was an appalling story and a tragedy that I think galvanized the attention of a lot of people when it came to truck driver training. So is this a mandatory training now implemented right across the country?
Help is on the way, I would say. You've seen a number of improvements. So Newfoundland implemented mandatory entry-level training this year. Nova Scotia is expected to announce how mandatory entry-level training will be implemented later this year. And we're seeing New Brunswick move to MELT as well. And Alberta, encouragingly, announced recently that they're going to launch or include an apprenticeship-style component as part of their training. And that's the second part of this. It's not enough to do the entry-level training. That training has got to be followed with onboarding and mentorship. So we're calling on provincial and territorial governments, not just to mandate mandatory entry-level training, but to make sure it's accompanied by those types of mentoring and onboarding programs. And also in some cases, they should think about funding those programs to make them more accessible. And that can be done through public-private partnerships.
Is there a standard for truck driver training schools across this country?
We need better oversight of those schools and of training providers. The quality of training and the content varied significantly from school to school. There's just not enough resources put into oversight there.
Why is the Insurance Bureau of Canada in particular so wound up about this?
We're the body that monitors risk, insurers price risk, and we've seen a significant uptick in the severity of claims. Our intent was to work collaboratively with the trucking sector, who had first broached this with us because they were interested in reducing their risk and ultimately reducing premium. And we thought, well, what can we do together to find collaborative, productive public policy solutions that would ultimately lead to reduced risk and safer roads?
I mean, to your point, truck transport is in many ways the backbone of moving goods across this country and across North America. Anybody who is out on the roads, and they don't need to be the big highways, but roads across this country will know that there are big rigs that are there sharing space with you. In light of what you have found in this report, how safe should we feel driving on those roads and on those highways around trucks right now?
I don't want to, raise red flags in terms of, everyone should stay at home and be afraid. You can monitor how you drive, drive cautiously. But at the same time, we are raising the alarm in terms of trucking training. And we're hoping that this report serves as a bit of a wake-up call, frankly, on the need for change.
Liam McGinty, thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Liam McGinty is Vice President of Strategy for the Insurance Bureau of Canada. Jeff Wood is Senior Vice President of Policy for the Canadian Trucking Alliance. He also works for the Ontario Trucking Association. Jeff, good morning to you.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well. How urgent is the need for better truck driver training in this country?
So we've been, and first of all, thanks for having us, and thanks to IBC for doing the report. I mean, we've been involved in it since day one, and, right. And I think it gives us a lot of things to talk about. I would say that, we can always improve. I would say there's a lot of good work that's already been done. We mentioned the introduction of mandatory entry-level training post-Humboldt. We've also had the introduction of electronic logging devices, third-party certified, so all truck drivers are electronically monitored when they're on the road. So there's a lot of work, I think, that has been done. There's a lot of work we can still do, and that's why we're engaged with IBC. So I can give you a little bit of perspective on CTA. We're a federation of the provincial trucking associations. So that's and as Liam mentioned, or you mentioned, a lot of the training pieces happen at the provincial level. So I can give you.
We don't have a ton of time, but what is the responsibility of the industry in making sure that the drivers who are working in that industry actually have the training that they
need? Good question. So you've got your entry level piece, and then as Liam mentioned, you have your onboarding piece. So there are a lot of fleets that are doing the right thing, and they're making the investments in onboarding and bringing new drivers in. So that is happening. The challenge sometimes we have is that costs money. So we're looking in future at what we would call institutionalized funding to help offset the cost of some of that. And that's in the works as well.
Are the schools actually equipping would-be drivers with the skills that they need before they get out onto the road with the rest of us?
So mandatory entry-level training is a minimum standard. So there's a host of schools that are going far beyond the minimum. And I think that's important context. There's a lot of great training schools doing a lot of good work, producing a lot of good drivers, whether that's in Ontario or other jurisdictions. We'll point to the Quebec model that does a tremendous job, and we're looking at that and how that can be applied in other jurisdictions.
Liam talked about an increase in the severity of collisions involving trucks on the roads. In British Columbia, truckers have hit overpasses 35 times since 2021, according to the province. And so in light of that, BC is proposing big fines, maybe even jail time, to stop these from happening. How does that happen? If people are properly trained, how are people still driving into overpasses?
So I can't get into specifics about, I can give you specifics on Ontario. I can't necessarily give you specifics on BC. But what I will say out of the BC incidents is the Council of Ministers of Transportation have directed a number of government agencies to dig into this. That's actually started.
Do you think fines and the possibility of jail time would focus the mind on making sure that those kind of collisions don't happen again?
I think it's a factor. What I will say, Matt, is there's a large portion of the industry that wants to do the right thing, and they are doing the right thing. You've got a small portion of the industry that has some challenges. Mm-hmm. And I can say, I think if we're to look at, you know, the increase in, what's been happening or what Liam identified is we've got some challenges on labor misclassification and tax evasion. It's an underground economy, non-compliance business scheme called Driver Inc. And that fuels the demand for new drivers to come into fleets that maybe don't necessarily want to follow all the rules, and safety isn't their priority. So we're working on a whole host of issues with government to enforce tax laws and labor laws on that segment of the industry. And it's, we've been working on it for a long time, but we do feel that that's a contributing factor to the fact that a lot of fleets are putting drivers on the road before they should, and we need that to stop.
This is a matter of great concern for those drivers, but also for everybody else who is on those roads sharing that space. Jeff, we'll have to leave it there. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Jeff Wood is Senior Vice President of Policy for the Canadian Trucking Alliance, also works for the Ontario Trucking Association. Your thoughts on this? Welcome. You can email us, thecurrent@cbc.ca.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.